This passage I read, we call it the Valley of Dry Bones. You know, there's even a spiritual, them bones and bones and rattling bones. Everybody's familiar with that. It's always an enjoyable spiritual to sing that. But I thought I would come at it. This is a resurrection sermon, to tell you the truth. You know, there's resurrection sermons all throughout the Bible. Of course, we know of the big resurrection happened on Easter, you know. But I think a lot of times we tend to forget that God performed miracles even in other times it's found in the Bible. So when you're reading your Bible, look for those resurrection moments, and you will be surprised about them. And I always enjoy doing that. But in this particular instance, this can be a personal resurrection for us, the way I'm taking the sermon today, or as God led me to write the sermon out. So follow closely, because I think what I'm going to be preaching will be able to help each and every one of you this Sunday. Oh, by the way, I was out walking last night, and I met a neighbor down on Irving Avenue, and we started talking, and later on he asked me, did I live in the area? And I said, yes, I'm the preacher over at McLeod. He said, well, you know, I thought you sounded like a preacher, so I felt pretty. But now, earlier in the day, somebody told me I sounded like an answering machine, so I don't know which one to believe like that. But you know, sometimes it seems we are the last people left upon the planet as the guardians of morals and faith. You know, we can't leave it to the politicians to do that, because they're after a vote. We are servants of the Lord, the Most High. And as servants of the Most High, we are to be, we are to defend and to live up to those morals and faith. It's not easy to do, is it? It is easy acquired due to all, you know, the attitude that we have to sort of do something to redeem our society, because we hear all the bad media, news circulating via the media. When we become so dependent upon our surroundings to function, then the trouble begins. I've heard people say, well, I don't know if my faith can take it anymore. Your faith should not be directly hit by the current events of society. Now, you can't help but feeling down every now and then. That's obvious. But our faith stems from a higher source than the newspaper, the radio, the television, or somebody screaming profanities down the street at somebody else. Our faith relies upon a heavenly source, as we know. The news business behaves like a tennis match. Now, for us who are the spectators, we cheer for the player. We feel more empathy and at home. Likewise, the news media plays the same game, regardless if the player or team is CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. They're all manipulators of the viewers, because slander, gossip, and paparazzi make money. There's dollar signs in all that. Guess what? We're all gullible without reasoning, whatever the latest headlines may be. Think about that. None of us here are removed from that. I don't know if y'all remember a person named Martha Mitchell. Martha Mitchell was the wife of the 67th Attorney General of the United States, John Mitchell, who later was convicted because of his involvement in the Watergate scandals in the 1970s. Well, Martha's pride and joy, they gave her an award one time. It was a giant telephone. She loved the telephone, and that's what got her into trouble eventually. Not with herself or the government, but with some of her husband's friends. But Martha was asked if she had any time for hobbies. She said she liked to read the funny papers. She jokingly quipped that her favorite funny papers were the New York Times and the Washington Post. So Martha Mitchell was a hoot in herself. Ezekiel described a post-battlefield scene after the smoke had cleared and the vultures had done their work. It was a scene of despair and failure. Israel had been defeated, and her people lived in exile. There was no hope remaining, and it is despairing when a dream has died. We've all had dreams which died and turned into dry bones. While failure is a part of life, Some dreams should not remain lifeless like a pile of dry bones. For Ezekiel, there was a dream for a restoration of Israel. See, Israel had a beautiful history under King David and Solomon. They were the most probably envied nation in the ancient world at one time. Their boundaries, national boundaries, stretched from the Nile River, literally, all the way to the Tigris and Euphrates River. You know, King Solomon has been considered the wealthiest leader ever in the history of the world. It says even in the scriptures there in First Kings, Second Kings, and all that, silver was deemed as nothing in his day because gold was the standard, and people took it for granted that everybody had a little gold. So that was King Solomon. But look how far they fell. They fell down to exile. They were living in exile in Mesopotamia. They were having to work for other people. What was left of their country was in ruins, and only the poorest of poor had remained. So no wonder Ezekiel was feeling a little down. But Ezekiel witnessed the army of Israel. Though it was nothing but dry bones, it was a reminder to us, probably the closest thing, those dinosaur graveyards out west are the mummies of ancient Egypt. What is to be done when we believe our dreams should live? Think about that. What is to be done when we believe our dreams should live? Well, for example, poor old Ezekiel went out to look at his nation's army and saw nothing but dry bones. But life for many of us has not turned out the way we thought, but we refuse to give up because of our faith. You know, coming up soon, well, in a few Sundays, be Fred Rogers Day. And you know, Fred, last year we mentioned Fred. You know, he was a notable television host of children's programming. He died 20 years ago, but he made his dream come true. In the early 50s, Fred graduated from Rollins College up just north of here in Florida with a degree in music. He felt led by God to pursue the new media television as a behind-the-scenes person. His parents had recently purchased a television set, and he was appalled at some of the children's programming on there, where people go up and bop children on the head with rubber baseball bats and throw pies in their face. He said, that's not quality program. That's just farcical programming. So Fred had seen this poor quality children's programming and sought to rectify it. At the same time, Fred was called into the ministry. And as a part-time seminarian, it was said during his lunch break at the television studio, he'd run down the street to the seminary, Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, and take a lunch class and then head back to the studio. Took him 8 years to finish his Master's of Divinity, but he did finish it like that. But he was the day before graduation from seminary, Fred received a phone call from the denomination officials telling him that they were sorry, but there was not enough money to make possible the television program he had proposed to them. Well, Fred was at first disappointed. You know how it is when you receive bad news like that, you're really down in the dumps. You know, you wonder, oh my gosh, what's going to be next? You know, last Sunday I mentioned about being at the end of your rope, but God always throws an extra foot or two for you to go on. Well, Fred was disappointed because he thought creating a television program for the church was the path God had directed him as a minister. Well, the day after he received that phone call and diploma, guess what? He received another telephone call. And this was from someone in Canada who wanted him to develop a new television program. But instead of focusing on the puppets so much, they wanted him focus up on himself. So, you know, it's understandable and everything. Fred did not want to leave his home in Pittsburgh, but he also felt that sometimes to follow God's plan, we must do things we don't want to do. Fred continued to cling to his dream of reaching children with quality television programming. Fred returned to Pittsburgh several years later to work with a fledgling public broadcasting station who wanted him to create a children's show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Incidentally, the Presbyterian Church ordained Fred Rogers as an evangelist to work with children and families through the mass media. As said frequently, Fred Rogers was the most watched evangelist and minister in the history of television through the eyes of millions of preschoolers without even raising his voice. So I guess it was a beautiful day in his neighborhood. But you know, when there are disappointments in life, God's wisdom is the answer. Ezekiel needed God for a revitalized Israel. We, however, cannot succeed or resolve the problem by ourselves. And we should get that very clear in our minds. We need an outside source, and God is it. So let us turn our problems over to God and act on His instructions. You all are familiar with Susan Boyle, aren't you? Think about that name. She was from Scotland, and she'd been a caregiver for her elderly mother for many, many years. She applied to sing on the hit television show in England, Britain's Got Talent. You may have seen the YouTube video. With unplucked eyebrows and a plain house dress, she walked on stage to the amused ridicule of the judges and audience. Talk about nerve to stand before not just an audience there, but millions of people in Britain with an appearance like that. This woman, who had only sung in her local Roman Catholic church, had a lifelong dream of performing before a large audience. At the encouragement of her priest, she decided to apply for Britain's Got Talent. While the judges in the audience had bemused smirks on their faces, Susan opened her mouth, and it was as if the angels were gushing forth with such a beautiful voice, to the astonishment of millions of watchers. Susan Boyle became an instant success. She signed a recording contract that very night. She has been a very popular singer in Great Britain and even in the United States ever since then. So God gave instructions to Ezekiel, and he followed them. Ezekiel preached to the dry bones, and they began to transform. I haven't done that yet, so if you do, you might want to get a straitjacket if you see me out preaching to dry bones. But the serious matter of the fact is, if God called me to do so, I would try to be obedient to God's call. And see, that's the thing about it. Having faith in God requires action. You've heard that old saying, you better put feet on your prayers. Well, it's the same way. You know, a lot of us can sit in our rocking chairs with our arms folded and not do a thing. Well, God's going to drop it into my lap anytime. Well, that's like asking for a gorilla to parachute in on you, you know. A lot of times we need, in our partnership with God, and of course God's the senior partner, to act on it. And that's what the secret of it all is. And Ezekiel did act on his faith, and those body parts came to life with God's help. We can have faith in God and strategize to resolve our problem, but we must let God get involved, or there will be no success. Now, I'm a person, if I get sort of outmaneuvered or something like that, or if I find I hit a dead end street, I may not immediately act, but I don't want to roll over and play dead. And I'm sure all of you are the same way. In fact, I'm like Scarlett O'Hara standing in that cotton field shaking my fist as God is my witness, you know. That's the way I am. And I think God expects us to stand up and go where God wants us to go. It's difficult sometimes to do that, but you will receive untold blessings by following what God wants you to do. And you also should be hearing for the voice of God. Now, am I going to say it's audible? Not really. But God, you will know God is speaking to you. So if there's ever something, an issue, or if there's ever something that comes up in your life and you're wondering, well, what should I do about it? Well, instead of twiddling your thumbs or taking an extra nerve pill, why don't you ask God about it? Pray to God and allow God to deal with this and help you get the motivation and inspiration and instigation to go on and do it. Because God knows best than we do. Because we must let God get involved or there will be no success. Remember that. The old saying, let go, let God. But we are so much involved in wanting to keep control or having it our way and grasping that if we kind of let loose a little bit, there's going to be some marvelous things happen. Ezekiel reminds us for our benefit that we must constantly nurture our dreams. Yes, we can be disappointed, but that doesn't have to mean we're defeated. Because if God is for us, what? Who can be against us? So keep that in mind if you're facing a situation where you're not quite for sure about things. So God will remind us and for our benefit that we must constantly nurture those dreams and rescue them from the defeat of failure. And it can only happen through God's help. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we run down the defeat street so many times. We think nothing can pull our iron out of the fire. But we know you can. Help us when we doubt. Help us when we think there's no hope ahead and that the dream has been punctured. We pray, O God, continue to be with each and every one of us. Look after us, O God, in all things. And as we seek to do your will, that we know that you will steer us in the right direction. We ask that in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.